Free FM.
Here you can be free.
Penn Jillette.
Good, doesn't it?
I like it. This is it.
I like having more and more. Yeah, just watch out. You know, I did get some feedback on your little comment,
which I
will not repeat, that said that I treated you too kindly, much too kindly, and I should have kicked your ass five ways from Friday.
And that was from my wife. She knows, man, my music taste sucks.
It really does, doesn't it?
It does.
It's appalling.
I like really bad stuff. I don't know why that is. I enjoy it.
Yeah, did you have, what kind of music education did you have?
None.
Did you listen to the radio as a kid or anything?
A little bit. We did not have a stereo in the house. I mean,
You're from like a non-musical family.
A non-musical family, yes.
Yeah. Well, that happens. You know, my dad sang and my mom played piano.
Right.
And they had we had a stereo and the stereo was on all the time.
Yeah, we didn't have a stereo.
and It's Penn Jillette. He's holding up a sign that says, "Who are you?" It's Penn Jillette, who listens to the radio a lot. A Penn Jillette bass player on that cut. Talking to Michael Goudeau about
Juggler.
The whole thing. You know, Friday night, I don't know the decision they made yet. Friday night, this is Friday night. My assistant, Jeff, who I said on the air could never get laid in a woman's prison with a fistful of pardons. And he certainly could get laid in a woman's prison with a fistful of pardons.
You were exaggerating.
I was exaggerating.
I think he could under those circumstances.
Certainly could.
Possibly.
There's no doubt about it. As long as it was a large state institution.
No doubt about it.
Okay, a little doubt about it. But I've been having a discussion with him, man, because I haven't found out the answer to his decision.
We haven't seen him yet this morning.
No, but Bob Dylan was playing in Vegas on Friday night. Bob Dylan playing in Vegas is the hippest thing in the world. Remember when all there was in Vegas was Danny Gans?
But he did a really lousy Bob Dylan.
Oh, lousy. And Merle Haggard.
Yeah, that bad.
With Merle Haggard opening, right?
Yeah.
Merle Haggard opened, not Danny Gans. And people in New York, you don't know who Danny Gans is. Chicago, you don't know who Danny Gans is. So get down on your goddamn knees and thank whatever god you pray to. You don't know Danny Gans. It's this horrible act in Vegas. You know, George Burns impersonation I'm coming, Gracie. It's that kind of thing.
You know, he wanted to be a baseball player, but didn't make it.
Yeah, well,
so now
good.
He's doing impersonations.
At least if he had made it as a baseball player, I wouldn't know anything about him. So, Bob Dylan, you know, I bumped into, I mean, Vegas is getting so much cooler. I bumped into Elvis Costello in New York in about 1992, 93, maybe. He was playing in New York. I went to see that show. It was a great show. It was with the Attractions. It wasn't the show with the wheel, but it was just... And Elvis Costello does wonderful shows. And after the show, I was backstage talking to Elvis. And I said, so, Elvis, I'll see you next time you're in Vegas. We'll see you in Vegas. I live in Vegas now. And Elvis Costello said, really kind of snottily and condescendingly, he said, no, I don't think I'll ever play Vegas. They like the dead Elvis out there, not the live one. I don't think I'll ever be playing Vegas. Three times I have seen him in Vegas. Three times I've seen him in Vegas since then. Three. Count them with me.
One, two, three.
Yes. And I can only go to shows when they're on my night off,
which
is Tuesday, or during a break. So that's a big, big deal. Bob Dylan plays Vegas. And, you know, everybody great plays Vegas now. I don't get to see them. So so Jeff was offered tickets to see Bob Dylan and with Merle Haggard opening.
Yeah, Friday night, yeah.
Friday night, yeah. Last Friday. He was offered tickets to see them. And because he knows the road crew, they hang out a little bit. And he said that he'd love to go, but he had tickets to see Queen with Paul Rogers. And I tried to sit the boy down. And I said to him, boy, listen to me. Paul Rogers is a great, great singer. A great singer. You know, his singing with Free, I just think one of the great rock songs of all time is All Right Now. Fabulous singer, you know? Fabulous singer with Humble Pie. I got nothing bad to say about Paul Rogers. Not one iota of bad thing to say. Brian May, great guitar player. He plays that really chunky guitar that his dad carved out of wood.
Yeah.
And don't say you love it, because then all of a sudden people say, oh, they said Queen sucks. You have no taste in music.
I have no taste in music, but that's one of the ones I do like.
And really, the solos in Queen, the guitar solos in Queen.
Amazing.
I know Freddie Mercury's dead, but the guitar solos, Brian May stuff, is fabulous. It's going to be a wonderful show. It's going to be a fabulous show. And I will not say anything against a Queen with Paul Rodgers. Great. Go. Terrific. And you will love it. But it's not Bob Dylan. And if you have not seen Bob Dylan in your life, you need to see Bob Dylan. Elvis Presley died in the 70s, right? 76 or 77, yeah. Something like that. And I should know that date, but I don't. And I could have seen Elvis when I was in high school. I had my driver's license. I believe he played Boston. And I could have driven to Boston and seen Elvis. But I had something else to do. Something else to do that I do not remember now. Maybe I had tickets to Queen. I don't know. Something else to do in 1972. Was that when he did the tour? I guess he did a tour around there. And I didn't go to see Elvis. I went to do something else, which I do not remember. So I never saw Elvis. I never saw the Beatles. Not my fault. I'm really too young to have seen the Beatles. And I, you know, I'm a country bumpkin. If I lived in a metropolitan area where they had running water, I could have seen the Beatles, but I didn't. Not my fault. I've seen the Stones, you know. But we were talking about this. I think that the order of people you most want to see is probably Elvis, Beatles, Dylan. I mean, you see the Stones once, you're fine. And yes, I will see Dylan every chance I get. I will see Dylan every time I have a night that I'm not violating a contract by going to see Dylan. I would not go to see Dylan on the birth of my child. But other than things like that, I would go see Dylan. That's okay. That's me. I'm a nut. I would put Dylan way above Elvis and way above the Beatles. That's me. That's okay. But in our general culture, You should put Dylan up there with those and above Queen. And then you're going to see Queen the next tour around. It'll be great. But make sure – and with Merle Haggard as your kicker, you know. That's an ace kicker to have Merle Haggard there. And I just think that they should have gone to see – it was two people. It was Stephen Doctors and Jeff Welch who both work in the big Penn & Teller organization and both met this terrific crew guy who was so kind to them. We let the crew of Bob Dylan and Merle Haggard come to our show way last Thursday night. Mm-hmm. And reciprocating, they invited their crew. And I just think it's a bad call. So I'm really eager to find out today what decision Jeff made. Because not only does it reflect on my feelings about Bob Dylan, but also it says if these people just think that they work for a raving lunatic. You know, I'm looking at Jeff, you know, and I'm making my case and I'm pleading my case. And he looks at me like, oh, Penn's doing a radio show. What is it bad?
You know what? The difference may be that he paid for the Queen tickets. You know what I mean?
That may be.
You know, he's got some money involved in this one. These are free. They must not be worth as much.
But he must be able to flip them somehow. He could send some lackey over there.
I would have bought them.
What? What did you say? You'll buy them?
I said I would have bought them, yeah, for, you know, Queen. I love Queen.
But Laura, who works in our office,
yes.
Laura is one of the newest people we have working for us, which is not saying much because people in the Penn & Teller organization work with us forever. I mean, Crasher has been with us since he was like 18, you know, and now I don't know how old he is. But
19. I can't believe he's been here a year.
And but Laura, you know, Laura was really jockeying with Jeff to be able to get herself a ticket to go see Bob Dylan and Merle Haggard, and she was really properly excited about it and seemed to understand the whole thing. So
she'll be getting a promotion tomorrow.
Just so you know, who's going to be getting a promotion and who's not going to be getting a promotion, I think Jeff Welch may have hit his head. That's as high as he's going in the Penn & Teller organization, and Laura is going to go very, very far.
She might be a Crasher someday.
Yeah, sure. Laura also has very cool tattoos and is maybe more attractive than Jeff. But that's not part of our hiring or firing processes. That has nothing to do. There's no sexual harassment in the Penn & Teller organization. There is, in the Penn & Teller organization, there is hostile work environment. There's no doubt about that. But there doesn't seem to be any sexual harassment.
I've been meaning to talk to you about that.
Just because you're forced to do the show in the nude doesn't mean there's sexual harassment. So I'm very eager. I'm almost wanting to like run out because I know Jeff is in the building here. I could run out and ask him which he saw. But another reason is I want to hear all about the Dylan Show.
He's probably hiding.
Dylan has a new album coming out in a few months, and I wonder if he's playing songs from it or anything. There's a lot of stuff to know, how much keyboard he plays, how much guitar. There's stuff that Dylan fans
what's his hair like?
Need to know. Yeah, it's all this stuff. I don't care about what his hair is like.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay. But last time I saw him, he had a little Academy Award statue.
Right.
On his amplifier.
You think you told that story?
I guess we've told enough cool Bob Dylan stories. But if I could be at the show, if I could have been at the show Friday night, I would be there. Having a lot of trouble with tents on this fine Monday morning. A lot of trouble with tents.
It's early.
When we last left our protagonists, Penn Jillette and Michael Goudeau in Las Vegas, they were talking about atheists and foxholes. And I want to apologize. Friday night, Friday show, not even knowing the time of the day it is, Friday morning show, I get a little choked up by Gid's letter, you know, because I don't know really, honestly, what I think about patriotism and tribalism and things right. like that. And but I sure do know that I love living in the U.S. And I sure do know that I'm very happy here culturally. And I really do like the Constitution. And maybe, you know, there's no way around people having to fight for that. And people like Gid who fight. And I think it's a really important distinction that the terrorists are fighting for heaven. They're fighting to go to heaven. They're fighting to the hatred of other religions and lack of them. And the atheists in the foxholes are fighting for their country, for their friends, for their neighbors, and for an idea that isn't as that's purer and more intellectual than the idea of religion. And you also said that what was that great quote that there's no atheists in foxholes?
Yeah, here it is. It's from James Morrow. It says, there are no atheists in foxholes. It is not an argument against atheism. It is an argument against foxholes.
Yeah. I've often thought that myself. And this I want to read this news story because we never get to this, and I want to get to it right now. I'm going to talk to, a Dutchman is building a working replica of Noah's Ark to teach children about the Bible.
This will be good. He'll teach him a lot, won't he? What's the first thing you're going to learn? Oh, I can't build a boat that big. And I have power tools. Yeah. I have saws. I have materials that did not exist. And I still can't build a boat big enough.
Johan, and I don't know how to pronounce H-U-I in Dutch, but Johan Hubers, probably, 47, will stock the vessel with horses, lambs, chickens and rabbits, most of them babies, to save space. Okay. Now, horses, lambs, chickens, rabbits, four species of animals.
Yeah.
Four species of animals. He's got,
I can get those in my car.
Dozens more to go. Dozens more to go.
Yeah.
The number of species of ants is equivalent of what? All the other species together? I mean, all the species of mammals?
Yes.
Yeah. The biomass of ants, is greater than the biomass of humans.
Yes.
Or is it all?
All buildings.
All buildings.
The biomass of ants. If you were to weigh the ants on one side and the buildings, all the buildings on the other, the ants win.
And if you were an alien, and sometimes with your taste of music, I think you are, and you came down from another planet and wanted to speak to the creature that controlled the planet, you'd be speaking to an ant.
Yep.
For all I care. Ants really do rule. And I don't mean ants rule.
There are more ants than fish.
Yeah. Are there?
Yeah.
More kinds of ants?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
More kinds of ants than fish.
Let's say, but you don't have to take a whole colony. You just have to take a queen and a drone, right, of every single species of ant. Good luck, Johan! Mr. Hubers, who believes in the literal truth of the Bible, that's a big mouthful, isn't it? Literal truth of the Bible, plans to set sail from his home in Shagan, 45 clicks north of Amsterdam in September, stopping off at towns on the Dutch canal system. Visitors will be invited on board for a small fee, which includes a tour and a religious pamphlet. I'm kind of sorry we're missing this. Mr. Huber's needs 100,000 visitors to cover the nearly 1 million euros. That's $1.7 million. Okay, Mr. Goodell.
Yes?
If he has $1.7 million and he needs 100,000 visitors to raise that, how much is he planning on charging to get on his ark?
A euro.
Okay.
Pretty good, huh?
Yeah, pretty good.
Just whip that right out. 1 euro. It's a bargain.
It's 10 euros.
Well, yeah, okay. Stop it.
10 euros. Or $1.70. It's $1.
No, 10 euros is not
a buck. 17 bucks. 17 bucks to get in his ark.
We're going to do this math. You and I together can work out this math.
To go on his boat with a stinky horse, lamb, chicken, and rabbit, and no ants. I want to know how many ants he's bringing. That's my only question.
$17.
We got him on the phone, which we won't because we don't even speak his language, we would say, how many ants you got? That's the question. That, any Noah's Ark person, hey, how many ants you got? How many ants you got? It's $1.7 million he spent on the project, raising the money from savings and loans.
He said his wife,
this is the best part here. This is the punchline to the whole thing. He said his wife was not enthusiastic about the Ark. He said, quote, she told me, why don't you dig wells in Ethiopia? Now, why?
Do we have her number on there? Can we call her?
Why don't you dig wells in Ethiopia is a universal way to say, I believe, an obscenity we can't say. Why don't you dig wells in Ethiopia? Hey, Danny Gans, why don't you dig wells in Ethiopia? No, the point is, and you put some money in when a bunch of our friends get together.
Yeah.
We were building wells in Ethiopia. Remember that?
Yes.
It's really cheap. You can put some money in. And now there's this new thing. I wanted to talk about this for a while.
I love this.
The flashlight thing?
Oh, no, not the flashlight thing.
No. You know the flashlight thing?
I don't know the flashlight thing.
I guess I should look into that and talk about it tomorrow or something. Or
we'll get it in a break. We'll pull it up in the break.
We'll get a break. There's a great project to give solar-powered flashlights that are really, really cheap and good and easy to use in remote parts of electricity. And giving people flashlights allows them to study and read and better themselves. Turns out that a flashlight is much better than teaching a person to fish. Give a person a fish and they'll eat for a day. Teach a person to fish and they will bore you spitless with stories about fishing. Give a person a flashlight, they will learn to do something at night they can tell you about that's more interesting than fishing. That's what the old aphorism says. We'll be back with more information on everything right after this. This is Penn Jillette. I'm sorry it took so long to say my name before. With Michael Goodell, and we're in Las Vegas. Certainly one of the greatest cities in the world and one of the better cities in the United States. We'll be back after this. God damn, he's fast, huh? This is Penn Jillette. Man, you hear that? You hear the speed? When you watch, every night at the Penn and Teller show, I watch Mike Jones play piano for an hour. I mean, for 45 minutes, I play bass with him. And there's another 15 minutes that he plays. And I was saying to my buddy Colin, Colin Summers designed the Slammer, the room that we're in. Colin Summers, a good friend of mine, a fabulous architect, lives in L.A. Part of one of my favorite couples. His wife is Nell Scovell, who's written everything that's ever been on television. And what was I talking about? I just looked down at the computer because we finally found this thing. We got the whole line of I was talking to him about Jonesy playing piano after
fast.
Seeing this whole thing.
Playing the piano fast.
Really fast. And I said, and I believe this is true. We maybe should try a test with this. Maybe we should try it with you. I believe that if it didn't matter what note you hit, you could not move your fingers on the piano keyboard as fast as Jonesy. I'm talking about the physical movement of the pianos and the key. Like, it doesn't even matter what note you hit. Could you move your fingers that fast? He is really, really a fast piano player. And I just love one of the treats of doing the show. And there are a lot, because I love doing the Penn and Teller show at the Rio. One of the treats is watching Mike Jones play every night. Go to penradio.com. They'll flip you over to Jones jazz.com, and you can get some CDs. If you like that kind of fast bebop piano, he's way, way good. I mentioned this thing before the break that I couldn't think of the name of. I still couldn't think of the name of it, but my wife found it for me. It's this thing called 50 Lanterns International. And I think, I have to ask Emily, but I think we gave money to them. And if we didn't give money to them, I want to do that because it's a really good organization. If we did give money to them, I'll give them some more. 50lanterns.org.
50.
Yeah. LANTERNS.org, 50lanterns.org. And the premise of this organization, I'll tell you. 50 Lanterns International is a non-sectarian, non-profit organization based in St. Paul, Minnesota. We are founded to help make a difference in lives torn by poverty, war, or disaster through gifts of solar-powered lanterns and energy systems. We were named for our first project, delivering 50 solar lanterns to 50 women in the outskirts of Kabul, Afghanistan. These widows live in the bleakest conditions with no access to electricity and few opportunities to earn a living. Our second project involved providing relief supplies, winterized tents, and more than 200 solar lanterns to earthquake survivors high in the mountains of northern Pakistan and Kashmir. They now get 150 out, and they give it to children that are getting more out there. And the idea is, I guess I'm going to go to this. Why a solar lantern? More than a third of the world's people live without access to electricity. The poorest and least educated members of the population. During daylight hours, they may look for food and work in small jobs to earn money. When the sun goes down, it's dark, too dark to learn, to read, or to teach children, too dark to work on small practical projects that can help earn money. So 50lanterns.org is a great, great organization. And the guy who's building Noah's Ark should not bother with the how many species of ants are there?
I don't remember.
See, this is the kind of thing.
20,000, I believe.
No, it's many more than that.
I think it's 20,000 species.
Species? 20,000?
So.
Instead of looking for 20,000 queens, which I'm sure they have in Denmark. Well, Dutch. Holland. Yeah, Holland. Holland is Dutch, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. 20,000 queens and 20,000 drones. He should be going to 50lanterns.org, or as his wife said, digging a well in Ethiopia. Now, you have something there that you think
is
real cool.
I got the other one, which I think this is the greatest thing ever. This is a guy
50 Lanterns is the greatest thing ever. 50lanterns.org is the greatest thing ever.
I'm coming over the fence. You're dead. this is just as cool. Every bit as cool. This is a guy who has designed children's playground equipment to pump water. So you can install this out in Ethiopia, where the guy should be digging the wells, and let kids play on it, and it fills up the water for the town.
Now, is this an idea that people are actually doing, or is this a Michael Goudeau whack job idea like barbecue covers?
No, this is people are doing this. It fills a 30-foot-high tank with water while the children play on their playground equipment.
Do you have a URL on it since you're reading off your computer?
I don't.
You don't?
I have an article about it at Sojourners Magazine.
Really?
But
you don't have a URL? Did you look for Play Pump? Did you go to a
play
search?
Play-pump.com.
You did find it.
No, I'm just making that up. I'm hoping it works.
Don't say the wrong. Don't give wrong URLs out on the air. What is wrong with you? You've been crazy these past weeks.
I don't know what's happened.
You've gone nuts.
I have.
Yeah, you've just gone wacky. There's nothing here about, wait a minute, Water Journal case study, roundabout outdoor Play Pump.
Playpumps.org.
No, it's not, is it?
It is.
Is there a dash there?
There's no dash.
There's no dash?
Playpumps.org.
Playpumps.org. Playpumps.org. That's how fast I type, just in case you want to know at home. Kids play water polo. Oh, this is a great thing.
It's a great thing.
And what are the kind of donations do they do? Oh, so they have this great toy for the kids to play.
Yeah.
And then while they play all day, they're... Now, we also have this... You know, there's a lot of other great toys. Besides playbump.org, there's also sewingforfun.org, where kids go to little sweatshops and spend all day sewing Nikes and Adidas for us to buy. And there's all sorts of clothing. Who was her name? Regis Philbin, and who was on with her that had the problem with her JCPenney's clothes made in a sweatshop? The kids are playing, but they're also working. And I guess if they don't know they're working, it's an okay thing. Is that your argument?
Yeah. Yeah. Kathy Lee. Kathy Lee was the person. Kathy Lee Gifford.
Kathy Lee Gifford was the one that was.
She had no idea.
She had no idea. Of course,
no idea.
But it doesn't say. What I want to find out here is how much does it cost to buy the whole play pump?
I think it's $7,000 to $10,000 to have one installed.
$7,000 to $10,000 to put it in?
Yeah.
So we could get a group of friends together. We could do that, couldn't we?
We
could just do a play pump.
Yep.
We should bring that to. We have the group of friends called the Jungle. And we should bring that and see if the whole Jungle will get together and do a play pump. That's
a great idea.
A great idea. And throw in a few flashlights.
Well, you know what else they do with it? They put a storage tank up, which in many of these areas it's very flat, and you can see the tank for miles. So they're actually selling some advertising on the tanks as well.
Really?
They really are. So we could do that. We could put one up and put, there's no God, on the side of this big thing. Atheists built this to save your lives because they love you.
What a great idea. You're a genius, Michael Goodell. You're a genius. And meanwhile, Johann Hubers will be stocking his vessel with horses, lambs,
bunnies,
chickens, and rabbits. That's his idea of explaining Noah's Ark. And how many cubits is this thing, you crazy Dutchman? Huh? You crazy, nutty Dutchman?
It's in the shape of a giant shoe. I don't know what he's thinking.
But if you're looking, I mean...
if your wife's against it. I don't know how you can continue forward, really.
Yeah, I know. I know. If you're building an ark, well, what was, do you know Noah's wife's name?
No.
No one does. But
I suspect that you're wrong on that.
You think someone knows Noah's wife's name?
I think we will
name?
Be swamped now with emails with
Noah's wife. I want to know Noah's wife. What was Noah's wife's name? Jewish tradition made her Noah's wife. Her name meaning the beautiful and the pleasant one. Reflects the worldly mind of the Canaanites. The wife of Noah. The wife of Noah is mentioned five times in the flood stories. let me see. It doesn't say she's...
Mark Spitz.
You couldn't think of the name of a female swimmer, did you?
I didn't know.
So in order to get your stupid joke in, you made both Mark Spitz and Noah. Gay.
I know.
But I think Noah was like, hundreds of years old, too.
Yeah.
Right?
And he couldn't have been gay. He was repopulating the world, wouldn't he?
Yeah. You don't want gay rabbits on your ark.
Yeah.
He also probably
has to... We have to go back.
And we are such nuts. Penn and Teller crew are such nuts that if Noah were around now, we'd be doing a whole Bulls hit episode on how Noah was not letting gay animals on the ark, right? We'd be like all bent out of shape. We'd be putting all Showtime. This is Penn and Teller. What's wrong with you? Why are there no? Well, we're trying to reproduce, you crazy big loudmouth. You retarded, long haired, 300-pound, 6'6" of moron. We're trying to repopulate. And yes, we love gays. Yes, they deserve rights. But we're trying to repopulate. Shut up with the gay ants. I don't want to hear any more about gay ants. As a matter of fact, I think one of my aunts was gay. But that's really, really not important.
As long as we're talking animals, and I'm sorry to get this in, Lance wants his duck back.
What are you talking about?
He just called me.
What are you talking
about? He wants his duck back.
We love that duck.
He's loaned you the duck.
We love the duck.
For a month, and you've never brought the duck back.
We love the duck. What do you mean? It wasn't a gift?
You asked if you could borrow a duck. They gave you a duck, and you never brought the duck back. Lousy neighbor.
So he wants his duck back?
I believe so.
We've trained that duck. We've loved that duck. That duck.
You could probably bring a different duck back. I'm just going to point out that no one knows which duck it was.
But Lance listens to this show. So did he call you during the commercial break to say, bring my duck back?
Yes.
He did?
Yes.
He really did.
That's what he was calling about, yeah.
Was he nice about it?
He was very polite about it.
Lance is that way.
He's a nice guy.
What is he, low on ducks in his show?
I think he just wants his duck back, okay? It's his duck.
It is his duck.
I believe it's his right to ask for his duck back.
Is he mad at me?
I don't think so.
Not at all?
No.
Why does he want his duck back then?
It's a male. He's building an ark. What do you want me to say? He wants his duck back. It's not crazy. He wants his duck back.
But a duck wouldn't have to be in the ark because they can swim.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
I once saw a debate. It was one of the greatest debates I ever saw. And it was on one of these Sunday morning political things. And there was a whack job stupid atheist like me, you know, loud mouth, unpleasant, speak anything pops into his head, atheist. And there was a religious person who was telling him that Noah's Ark was literally true. And these two were debating on a Sunday morning when they both should have been in church. And I was sitting watching, okay?
There's only one real question here, isn't there?
There is. So they are arguing. And the guy's point is, okay, now this is a softball argument, okay? The guy is saying that Noah's Ark is literally true. And every animal we have on the face of the earth, right?
Mm-hmm.
Every single animal on the face of the earth was on the ark, okay, to reproduce and to be saved by Noah. That was his argument, okay? On the other side could be anybody. Doesn't matter. You could be me, and you could win this argument. So the guy who was like me, except he was a lot smarter, but still a dumb, loudmouth, why don't you just shut up atheist? You know, that was, he probably had that tattooed in his arm. Why don't you just shut up atheist, right? He's talking along like this. And he's going, could you fit all the species on, like I would be? You know, what do you mean? Could you have, how about all the ants, the biomass, you know, the same boring crap sure. that we've been spouting for years. Could you fit, what about the lemurs in South? How did he get lemurs on the ark if he was over in the Middle East? He couldn't get, what about all the New World monkeys? How did he get those? Okay, that kind of guy, that kind of strident, unpleasant stuff. And the creationist, of course, is very calm, because the creationist knows everything is right. The creationist, of course, has had a lobotomy. So he said they're very, very kind. And then the guy goes, what about the sperm whale? You telling me he took two sperm whales on the ark? They would fill up the whole ark. And as the guy is saying it, right, you see that look of a guy's face that the parachute is not opening. What about the sperm whale? And you could just see his stomach just dropping out of him. And the creationist goes, you don't have to put whales on the ark. Whales can swim. And the host says, we'll be back after this. And you know something? This is Ben Gillette. We'll be back after this. Never mind the whales. Never mind the sperm. What about the ants? When you got swinging sounds coming out of Vegas, you got Penn Jillette out of Las Vegas. We're talking about all sorts of things. I think it's important. 50 Lanterns, 50lanterns.org and playpump.org.
Yes.
Are two organizations that are bringing water to, one's bringing water to Africa, and one's bringing light to people all over the world that need it solar powered. And so much better than building a Noah's Ark. Now, didn't you say that during the break you were saying Bill Nye got in trouble with religious people?
Yeah.
Have you ever met Bill Nye?
I have not.
Yeah. Bill Nye shouldn't be in trouble with anybody. You know, I was on a panel with him. We did a politically incorrect here at the computer conference. It was a live. What right. they did was they set up a live politically incorrect so they could pay Bill Maher a lot of money. And we were on stage with him acting it out. No televisions, you know. So whatever you do, you know. Whenever someone tells you you're on a TV show and there's no cameras, it was a live audience. It was like 2,000 people. It was the keynote address to when they used to have the big computer show here. Is it not
Comdex?
Even here? Comdex. Not even here anymore.
No.
It? No. There is no Comdex. But for a while, Comdex, back in the old days, Comdex was huge, yeah. Monstrous. And you could make money just going and talking to these people. So I went on the show, and I was on with Bill Nye. And Bill Nye had to be one of the most, you know, unassuming, unoffensive yeah. people possible. And when did this happen, this thing you're reading about?
Oh, I don't know about the date.
Because sometimes that happens. You know, people send us stories. You get
April 6th, 2006 was the date of the story.
Oh, well, that's a real story then. We can go with that. Go ahead, Michael Goodo. Tell us about Bill Nye, the science guy.
The Emmy Award-winning scientist angered a few audience members.
Emmy Award-winning? You know why he's Emmy Award-winning?
he wasn't up against
yeah. Queer Guy. See? If he'd been up against Queer Guy, he would have lost. Because it's all political. Queer Guys have a shoe-in, okay? We lost 1 year to Queer Guy and another year to Barbara Streisand. Okay? If that is a conspiracy, I don't know what is. And is there any show on TV more pro-gay than the Penn & Teller Bulls? hit show? No, there's no show. We went out against the Boy Scouts. We went out against traditional marriage. We said they should be. We are more pro-gay than Queer Eye, but we aren't for queer guys, so we lose. So Bill Nye won his Emmy because he had the sense to go up against someone other than Queer Eye. Okay, so Bill, congratulations on your Emmy. Would you please finish this thing?
I don't think he stands another chance. He's upset them, the Christians. He criticized literal...
He upset who?
Christians.
Christians, okay.
Criticized literal interpretation of the biblical verse, Genesis 1:16, which reads...
1:16?
1:16.
He didn't even get going before you pissed him off, did he? First page of the Bible, and Bill Nye, the science guy, is on the fly. Go ahead.
God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. That's the quote from Genesis.
Okay.
He pointed out...
I love it when you read from the Bible on the show.
I know.
It brings a certain... It uplifts the show a little bit. That was Michael Goudeau with Genesis 1:16.
I like it. I'm trying to get another job.
If
I lose this one, I'll be doing Christian radio.
You could be on doing you could be hosting Davy and Goliath marathons.
Davy.
was that your Goliath?
That was it.
Man, I used to watch that when I was a kid, the Davy and Goliath stuff. And, you know, it's a cartoon, but you couldn't follow it because there was nothing funny in it. So it's just like watching this dog and this stupid kid. And I used to try to think, it was on in Greenfield, Massachusetts, where I'm from, which, of course, didn't have a TV station or even indoor toilets, out of Springfield, Mass, and Hartford, Connecticut, they had stations. And they would have it all with, Deputy Dog. You know, Deputy Dog was pretty funny. You know, Musky the Muskrat, Deputy
sure.
Dog and stuff. And then they'd go right into Davy and Goliath. And I didn't know the difference. I'm just a kid. All of a sudden, the whole tone just slows down. And you go, oh, I get it. We go from Deputy Dog to now, welcome to Buzzkill with Davy and Goliath. Buzzkill's coming up. Okay, so you've read, and God made two great lights.
Yes, the great lights, greater light to govern the day, lesser light to govern the night. Well, Bill Nye, in his infinite wisdom, pointed out that the sun, which is the greater light, but is one of countless stars, and the lesser light is the moon, which is not a light at all, but a reflector of light.
That bastard.
I know, I can't believe he was that.
Taking away all that's good in the world. That bastard. That bastard.
He was out on a limb
there. He's some sort of nihilist, right? He believes in nothing. He wants our children to grow up believing in nothing. He wants us to be Stalin. He wants us to be China. He's a fascist. He's against everything that was American. The founding fathers said right in the paper before the Declaration of Independence, we believe the moon is not a reflector. He called it a reflector.
He did.
Instead of a lesser light.
A lesser light.
And I'll tell you something. Bill Nye, he knows lesser lights. I would say in science, Bill Nye is a lesser light. He really should know that. Bill Nye, the science guy, and you're Mike Goudeau, the science schmo. Mike Goudeau, the science schmo. I love it when you read from the Bible. You know what we're going to do? Here's what I figure. You know, what matters in this business we're in now, this radio business, which is brand new to us. We're jugglers, okay?
I know.
Jugglers on the radio, okay? Not since they put ventriloquists on the radio has a move been this stupid. Free FM said, who are the stupidest kind of people who put on the radio? Oh, I get an idea. Can we put jugglers? No, let's go with painters. No, jugglers, even stupider. What we're supposed to be doing is getting ratings, you know?
Right.
And the so-called shock jocks go on, and they have, lesbian twister, you know? They make up something, and then people tune in to listen to people watch naked women. They found something stupider than jugglers! Stupider than jugglers on the radio. And now, you know, we get a lot of letters. I mean, the letters we get are really beautiful. And there's all these, free thinkers and open-minded people, right? And they're listening to the show. They've signed up. They're ready. They've got their schedules. You know, they have their lunchtime. They listen to Penn Jillette and Michael Goudeau. Everything's going well. It's like the Democrats with Hollywood. Those people already like us. So what you say, starting, next week on Monday, we start doing a religious show. All the people that already listen to us will be listening to us they do when a rock star goes through a religious period. You still like them. You kind of half buy. You buy the first record. So they'll still be listening. And they'll still be buying, the products that we sell on the show. And they'll be going, those guys are free thought. It's Free FM. They tell the truth. And the next time we'll come in and we'll go, atheists are child molesters. They're evil. They're bad. Atheists are just, they deserve everything they get.
Don't even give them foxholes.
Don't even give them foxholes. They're not good enough for foxholes. Leave them on the battlefield with no place to hide. Let them run with their naked atheist asses flying in the atheist breeze. They should know there's an literal, we'll go with the literal interpretation of the Torah, the Bible, and the Quran. We'll say that it all literally, and Scientology. Why not? Get Tom Cruise to like our show. Tom Cruise could love our show, right? We'll say, oh, we think it's a great idea. You're putting a pacifier, a giant pacifier in your wife's mouth, you know?
We have no proof of that.
He had no proof of that. It was reported in some scandal sheet.
Yeah.
That he had devised a giant pacifier to stop his wife from
crying during Mission Impossible 3.
I'll be crying. Yeah, that's what I'll do.
That's what she's doing. That's why he got it for her.
No, I'll be crying. You know, I loved Mission Impossible, Mission Impossible 2. The only thing is I went in, I liked them because they were really pretty and they kept moving. And I liked Tom Cruise. You know, I liked Tom Cruise. And I like Tom Cruise because he will boldface lie. You know, Tom Cruise is the kind of guy, and I always admire this, a guy when the camera's rolling will just lie. I did all my own stunts. He said that in an interview. I did my own. Maybe he didn't say all. Okay. I did my own stunts. And you like go, no, you did. And he goes, yes, I did. And he's done. That's it. Boom. That's what I respect about. So what we'll do is starting in a couple weeks.
He thinks he's Jackie Chan.
We can't. Even Jackie Chan doesn't do his own
stunts.
I know
that. That's why I brought Jackie Chan up. I thought that was the funnier part.
But that's our plan. That's our plan. Our plan is we suck all these people in. With free thinking and pro science, and then one day we just do a 180. Boom! Where the, you know, Dennis Miller did that pretty much, right?
Yeah.
Dennis Miller was kind of a pundit that talked about all different political beliefs. Then he all of a sudden decided, oh, I'm going to go on MSNBC or whatever you want. What do you want? Fox,
yeah,
whatever.
Fox, yeah. Something like that.
I will be right wing. Just boom, like that. I will support the president no matter what. Maybe that's our plan: a literal interpretation of the Bible. What do you want to say? Well, I don't know what he said. Sometimes Happy Jack writes a note, and he doesn't pay any attention to what he's writing. He just scrawls it out to get it fast, and he keeps going. But that's okay. So one of these days, and maybe we'll just – and this is all because of you, Michael Gudeau. You were so inspiring reading that biblical verse about the two – and I also love Bill Nye getting in trouble.
I love. Yeah. With really, that radical statement.
You know,
it's radical.
I am a loudmouth bastard. Okay? I go off half-cocked. I often do not know what I'm talking about. I'm in people's faces. I try very hard to be polite, but I'm often get a little bit rude. I do all that stuff, and I get busted for it. People say, you're a loudmouth atheist. Shut up. And I always feel bad. I always feel terrible. I always go, you know, I should be polite. I should be nice. I really do have very good friends who are from all faiths. We've had people call in the show from all faiths, and I've gotten along with all of them. I should really be more, and you can't be more milquetoast than Bill Nye. I mean, he is just like, he's like 5'7" of poured cereal. You know, there's just nothing offensive about Bill Nye, and he gets busted. So there's no hope. If you want to tell the truth as you see it, you are going to get busted. It's as easy as that.
He's just trying to change his image. He's doing the same thing we're talking about.
That's all he's doing. This is Penn Jillette. We'll be back. Don't forget to listen to the show tomorrow. I'm going to be telling a lot of stories. I promised we'd be telling before. And please, please tune in on Wednesday when we will have
Chris Bliss.
Chris Bliss will be talking about his viral video of Jungle to the Beatles. And he'll be talking about his encounter with Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr and with the Ten Commandments. Ben Jillette, we haven't changed yet. We're still afraid.
Check out Penn Jillette weekdays from 2 to 3 on Free FM.